Good morning, Miss M.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How was your Rosh Hashanah?
Very special and meaningful.
Oh, I'm glad.
It was lovely. Absolutely lovely. How was yours?
Well, it was also wonderful. Thank you, Bev.
Oh, good.
So you can start SMSing. Send your birth dates to 34519. Or better still, call directly. Pat will take your calls. She'll send them straight through to the studio. And Bev will work on your numbers immediately. 0861 24 24 36. Do you have paper and a pen? Are you rearing to go, Ms. Malun?
As always.
As always. Bev, I've got an SMS here. The 15th of the 12th, 1960. Female.
Okay. Does she want to know anything specifically?
Nothing specific,
not really.
No.
Okay, so she may have similar views to Thabo this morning because she's so unrealistic. So idealistic and unrealistically expectant of how things should be. And I think when we look at the crime statistics, you know, there's a whole lot of numbers to profile right there.
Mm. And yes.
They're not all that statistically significant, though, if you really look at the research and the people who know about statistics. I mean, I studied statistics so long ago and I did well in it, but don't ask me to read anything statistically sound and give you an opinion. But the people who do have opinions are not saying that much positive about it. So Thabo is a welcome light amongst the scattered darkness, I think, at the moment, all over the place. So this lady has got a very specific desire to be heard, to be listened to speak, to take direction, to move, etc. She likes movement. She likes to take the lead, and she has a lot to say. A lot to say. And here's where the downside is going to be, and the frustration for her is that she's so quickly hurt, because if you have your expectations set at 150 and people keep bouncing up against 27, 56, 85, 85, 90, 90. They're still, no matter how well they're doing, way short of 150. Mm-hmm. So when we live in the world in a way where we have very specific ideals about how things must be, particularly in the relationships of people closest to us and the world, and we don't voice our hurts, we don't voice our needs, we don't voice those things, but we respond emotionally and sometimes in a volatile way and dramatically. Well, that's quite an exhausting way to be, to be honest. And until we learn to manage that and take a breath and just identify what it is we prefer in the moment and be willing to voice it, you're kind of in a catch-22, going in circles, wanting things to be better, not too certain how to get things better, and having a response in which you speak and speak and speak your mind, but not your truth. There's a very big difference between what I think and what I assess about what's going on versus what I'm feeling and what my need is.
I like that. Speak a difference between speaking your mind and speaking your truth.
Absolutely. Because your mind often is used to protect you from being honest about your vulnerability. So I don't want you to know how vulnerable I feel. I don't want you to know how hurt I feel or disappointed. I'm just going to tell you how wrong you are and how weak you are and how I can't believe that you behave that way. Because when I can speak to you from a place of disdain or self-righteousness or judgment, I'm still in a position of power and I feel safe. When I speak to you from a position of vulnerability and need and hurt, well, then you might take advantage of me, and then I'm not too sure I like that. But in a relationship in which you feel sound, you understand what your core value is, you understand what you're about, and you're protecting yourself and living with self-esteem, the vulnerability is liberating. Because I can say to you, I know I'm still enough of a human being. I know that I'm still valuable. I know that I'm still special. I know that I'm still all of these things, even though I feel vulnerable and disappointed right now. You're not powerful because of it. I'm giving you an opportunity to reclaim your space close to me. Because if you don't come right on this, if you do not apologize, if you do not make nice to me, well, then I'm only going to have to do what's reasonable. And I'm going to have to build a wall between you and me, because that will be safer. If I can't trust you to be in my space, I have to build a barrier between you and I. And people do that without realizing it all the time. They build barriers between themselves and the people they interact with. And it is harder and harder and harder for those people to connect with them in a vulnerable, connected, close space. And if we can't connect at that level, we don't have real relationships. And people will challenge me on that. And, you know, I'm always up for it. We can have a open line debate about that. But you cannot have an authentic relationship with somebody who does not truly know who you are. Now, I'm not talking about your bowling buddies or the people you occasionally see when you go out and play squash and you've got a squash group or a running group or whatever. Those people are not there to really know your intimate self. They're there because you have a common interest. There's a commonality between you. There's a place in which to connect. There's a level at which to expose yourself, your passion for it, etc. And so you combined because of that, that it ever becomes an authentic, deep, connected, committed friendship or relationship relies on whether or not you're willing to expose your vulnerabilities, which most people don't do and should not do in the work environment, although many people live with their drama on their sleeve. They should not do it in those environments, but many people do. And it holds them back.
Thank you, Bev. Okay. Thanks so much for that. I think we have Sam on the line. Hi, good morning, Sam. Bev's just putting her earphones on. There we go. Hi, Sam.
Hi, morning. It's good so morning. Nice to get through. Can I give my date of birth?
Please.
Okay, it's the 26th of September, 1970.
Do you have any specific questions?
Yes, I'm trying to get a business off the ground, a personal, my own. So, I've been, it's quite nerve-wracking for me.
Okay, well, I'm going to just give you some feedback on a couple of things, and I hope that has value.
Okay, that's great.
Thank Are you going to listen on the radio, Sam, or are you going to stay on the line?
Anything, I don't mind.
Okay, listen on the radio. It'll be clearer for you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Thanks, Sam.
Okay, all right, so we're about to get a business off the ground, right? So that's where we're moving into. And she's doing it in a year that is really energetically for her about critical thinking. So here's what I'm going to say. There's no oracleizing here. This is not me saying to you, don't do it. And this is not me saying to you, oh, perfect time to do it. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying to you is that the energy of the year you've just entered since Rosh Hashanah the other day, the energy of this turnaround year is that we're moving into a year energy that supports power, ambition, drive, closeness in relationships, social context, bonding. We're in that energy now. Now, how you use that remains to be seen. It's like being a surfer. Waves come, waves pass, waves come, waves pass, and you can even have them wash over you, turn you upside down, or you can climb up on top of it and ride it. Right, now that's the same with everything. Mm-hmm. So the energy of the time we've moved into now is a very powerful time for people who are critically in a position where they have thought clearly about how they want to be in this year and what they want to be doing. This is a powerful, beautiful time for success, for thriving, etc. So not going to be surprising for me if the economic downturn starts to shape up and come up again and starts to change in different ways. And perhaps we can see a change in the crime statistics. I don't know. But, who knows? Maybe our police force who have a 1 in 1700 ratio. 1 in 1500 ratio will be grateful that it's not 1 in 3000 and just get on with it as best as they can, and hopefully there'll be new recruits and there'll be new funding, and hopefully there'll be more community policing. I keep hearing on different platforms where people are talking about it. We need to come together. A mother just handed her son over in the Western Cape for being involved in a gang-related activity that was responsible for the death of a child.
Really?
And she was like, forget it, you're off the streets. And she took him over. And
wow.
I mean, can you imagine the heart-wrenching pain for a mother to say, I'm actually putting you in a position where I believe you'll be safer in the long run. And I cannot have you as my son living in the world knowing you are a part of this. I love you and I'm taking you. And she did. She handed him over. So it's not like we don't know who the criminals are. Many of us know who the criminals are. Many people know what's going on. It is up to us to stand up and do something about it. It is not reasonable to expect a police force who are 1 to 1500 outnumbered to do everything for us. Okay? So I'm not talking about vigilantism. I've got this recorded. There is no incitement to violence. There will be no hawks investigation into what I just said. Right. Okay, so when we're looking at Sam, I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to relate this all back to you. Now, watch how I do that. I'm just going to swipe everything aside and begin again. Sam, your capacity to be inflexible is a fantastic source of why you will be a success in life, why you have already succeeded in different things, why you're willing to try a new business in an economically challenged world. So you have this powerful belief in what's possible and belief in what you're doing. And it probably is a creative bent. There's probably something that other people could benefit from it. And she's a solid person. This is a solid, committed, loyal person. Now, two things I want to offer you moving into a new business. One, stupid loyalty is not rewarded, not on planet Earth, not in heaven. Stupid loyalty, where I commit and overcommit and remain committed until I sink with the ship, that is not going to be rewarded anyway. So I'm not talking about your business going under. So listen carefully. What I'm saying to you is, when we take a direction in life and we're determined it's the right direction, and you implement a system in your business, let's say, or a strategy in your business, just because you implemented it, believed in it, and were fighting to get it going in that particular way does not mean it's the only way it could get going. And it is incumbent upon you as an entrepreneur to be flexible and willing to shift, change course, and be ad hoc about it, and make certain that the goal remains focused. The goal is to achieve in your business. The goal is to lift it up. The goal is to get it off the ground, as you put it. Well, then there will be many things you implement initially that will work perfectly and many that just will not. And it is essential that you are working on your flexibility and your expectations and your reasonable management of those two things so that you can thrive, because an inflexible entrepreneur is not a very successful one, other than this outright determination to succeed. So you need to keep the goal in mind. The goal in mind is, I have a successful business that is thriving in the world and growing all the time. Great. If that's part of your goal, that's fantastic. The flexibility about how you get from point A here to that successful point needs to be fluid, recreated, open, taking advice from other people, not your strong suit. Ask for advice. Look at people who have similar businesses, similar success stories, ask them how they did it, learn from others, be willing to change, grow, implement, and overcome so that you don't hit walls along the way that become stumbling blocks to your success instead of just stepping stones. That's the first thing. The next thing I want to say is that there are people who will respect what you're doing, there are people who will not respect what you're doing, and your need for social recognition and affirmation will hold you back if you don't do this independent of the opinions of others. Just do it. If you believe in it and you think it works, don't wait for affirmation, recognition, respect. Business is a numbers game. Marketing is a numbers game. Advertising is a numbers game. It's all numbers. And there's plenty of numbers out there. You just have to be willing to run them. And 300 no's doesn't mean it's not a good idea. Not ever. Gone with the Wind was refused by, I believe, 19 publishers. Her family were begging her, "You're embarrassing us. Please stop this. Please stop this." And eventually someone took a look at that book and thought, okay, so maybe this can work. And now we have the legend of Gone with the Wind. So it is very dangerous for people with entrepreneurial spirits to wait for affirmation, respect, acknowledgement, and recognition from their peers or the people around them. The majority of your business will always be grown with complete strangers with whom you form new relationships. I'm going to say that again. It's the same in network marketing. I've spoken to so many people. They show the business to their closest friends who are just as insecure as them. They flip out, freak out, don't want to do anything like that. And so they think, well, it won't work. No, the majority, you need a couple of thousand people in a business like that to be a success. You need a couple of thousand clients in a real business to be a success over a 2 to 5 year period. You have that many friends? No. So why don't we get over this whole need to have your friends approve of what you're about to do before you get on with it? If you believe that this is solid, if you believe what you've investigated is based in legal principle, is a good business model, and has a win-win at least, and hopefully a third win aspect to it, so you win, the client wins, there's referrals and they win, and there's a whole balance of that kind of situation, and I'm talking to everyone now, go for it, independent of the scrutiny of others, and you will find the market that wants your business.
Lots for Sam to think about. Thank you so much, Bev. I have self-esteem engineer Bev Mulun in the studio. And if you have just tuned in, Bev looks at your birth dates and she does numeric profiling. And it is such an insightful, interesting 35, 40 minutes that we have Bev in the studio. So you can SMS your birth date to 34519. Better still, call in 0861 24 24 36. Bev, straight to Janine, born on the 4th of of the 9th, 1957.
Okay, Janine. Well, Janine has her own story. There's no question. Janine wants to be her very own unique self, and she doesn't like to be dictated to, and she's not that good at taking information from authority. And so I imagine growing up in the 60s, which is when she would have started like toddling, I imagine growing up in the 60s and 70s with that kind of free-spirited, I just want to be myself, I have my own sense of justice and integrity type story about her, that the 70s was quite a fit, shall we say. It was quite a fit. I imagine that the insecurity of social behavior and the insecurity of society and the need for people to dress similar and look similar and be similar is quite a struggle for her. It would be an interesting conversation to have. Feel free to SMS back, Janine. But this is something that is not an easy flow for her, because she's not wanting to play the game in the way everyone else does. And she has her own creative ideas and a very bright analytical mind, and she's insightful. But socially, she can get disappointed by people because she has a very exact sense of justice and integrity and wholeness, how things should be. Remember, integrity doesn't mean I only tell the truth. Integrity means that something is whole, it's solid. There's no chips or cracks or fractures. If the screen of my iPhone remains in integrity, it will not crack. No matter how many times I drop it, I'm just putting it out there, Lord. You know, we live in hope. Certainly the integrity of the little menu button is not in total integrity, because it just only works when it suits itself. So that's what integrity is about.
Having problems there?
I am. I'm just putting out there. Anyone who wants to save my iPhone, please, you know, send it. I did just get the new operating system. You know, we don't get the phone yet, the R5, but, you know, you can get the operating system if you have iPhone.
That's nice.
I got it this morning. Nice. Very excited.
Oh. Yeah. Well, good for you, Bev.
It is. It's about flexibility and learning new things. And now they've changed a whole lot of things around and added some things, and they moved my menu around, and I've had to learn flexibility. Okay, just let it flow. What have you done? Where can I file this so I get my structure back? Okay. So Janine is very much like that as well. Janine doesn't like her stuff moved around. Don't be pressing her buttons. Don't be moving stuff around, and don't be hurting her, because she will just delete you, you know. I often, like when I'm busy, look at the phone ringing and see the defer button or reject button or whatever, and I think, why don't we always have this? It is so useful, because sometimes you know the conversation with the person that's about to happen, if you do answer, is going to be about 12 to 15 minutes, and you don't have the time, but you want to speak to them. But you know, well, I just want to put it out there that iPhone, because sometimes you're busy, but you want to like message them, but it like you have to reject the call, go into messages, start. They have developed this little app now on the call, and when I saw it this morning, when somebody's calling you, if you press the little flip button, it says send message, remind me later to call this person. I love Apple.
You love
that. You know, people can jump up and down about anyone else's, you know, Sam, Markle, whatever they're singing out there, you know, like, go ahead, do it. I respect that. Everyone's got fantastic units and Android. It all works, and everyone finds their happy place.
This is your happy place, Bev?
Yes, but it took me long to get there. It took my son taking the phone and playing with it and showing me how it worked, you know, to make friends with it.
Okay.
And that's very much about Janine, that I think people probably don't understand about her. She's very intuitive, and she likes to explore the world experientially, but she has her own structure and determination about how that's done. And that level of inflexibility is almost incongruent for people. She's, I want to be how I like, when I like, don't tell me what to do. And there seems to be a flexibility about that, but it's not flexible. It's very inflexible. This is how I want to be. And then when it comes to handing things or interactions or whatever, there's like, no, it has to be this way, and I'm not budging. This is what is right. This is what is just. So if anything, I'm going to offer you, Janine, perhaps gentleness with the people you're close to, perhaps less expectation, or looking at the reasons why you are expectant. What do you feel you won't survive if things aren't the way you want them to be? How can you use that amazing brain of yours, and how can you use that incredible talent that I know you have, and get into your own story and be in it with flexibility and gentleness, so that other people don't have to fall because of it? Just some questions to ponder. Use them, don't use them.
There we have it, Janine. There we have it. Let's move on. I don't know if this is a male or female. It just says, hi, my birth date is the 22nd of October, 1963. Thanks.
Pleasure.
So whoever sent that through, the 22nd of October, 1963. No idea if this is a man or if this is a woman.
Deeply sensitive, deeply philosophical, highly expectant. It's our theme. There we go. Mm.
Yeah.
Not wanting to take directions from others, insensitive and lacking in compassion when hurt or disappointed, but essentially very generous, very nurturing, very caring. Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
So not the easiest place for this dear person to be who's young. This is only a, what, almost 49-year young person. So here's the thing. This is clearly the theme. And this is a year in which energetically you are called upon to be flexible. So let's say you're running in a certain direction and you notice that there's a massive fire going on there. Are you going to just run straight through it? I mean, don't we say this to children all the time? Didn't our parents say it to us? It's like some bizarre legacy everyone has to say to their children at some point. If your friends run into a fire, will you run straight after them? Mm. Right? Like, if your friends are all jumping off a bridge, will you jump
with
them?
Will you also jump?
Right, exactly. You know, so this is the question. So if you're running towards something, you're running at a path, you're running at a building, you're running at something, you want to go there, but you notice it's on fire. Okay, so now we have to ask the question, are you going to run into it anyway? Well, if you're a fire person, you mm-hmm. know, a fire mm-hmm. Man or woman, are there any fire women?
An extinguisher of fires.
Yes,
a fireman.
Fire person,
fire
shall we call
person.
Them? Yeah, if
yes.
you're a
fire
helper
executive.
Person, fire officer, if you are one of those amazing people who do such incredible work, it's just amazing. I don't know how they do it. I had a fire at my home, I think 2 years ago already. I left a candle in the room.
No.
Never do that. Unattended.
You left a candle in a room.
Seriously. Seriously, I'm so grateful that the only lesson I had was to just redo the whole room, because it could have just been an outright complete disaster. What humility and stupidity combined together can do. But the my maid was leaving and she said, "What's all the black smoke coming out of your room? What are you doing in there?" I'm like, "Are you kidding?" Flew from the lounge and ran straight into a pitch black from my chest upwards room, with flames all over the place, and between a bucket of water and running backwards and forwards, and my father and I, we extinguished it. So bravo, right? Thank goodness. But the fire people came, their big red truck. It was very exciting. And thank goodness they did not have to drown the house, because that just ruins everything.
Mm.
But they got into that every day. My skin was burnt. My hair was burnt. My eyes were burnt.
Mm.
The clothing, the taste in my mouth, my lungs were sore. I had so much compassion, respect, appreciation, and value for the work they do. And they do this whenever they are called upon to do it, with a full heart, with a full spirit. And I just thought, that is amazing.
Mm.
That is amazing, because honestly, I did it because it was my home, and there's no way I'm just going to stand by and watch it if I can do anything in the interim before they get there. But there were so many physical repercussions. These people are really genuinely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Right.
Right.
After that message from our sponsors. If you're running at a building that is on fire, if you're running at it, surely at some point you're going to ask yourself the question, am I padded? Am I geared? Do I have a fire hose? Should I be doing this? No. Right? So this is what I'm saying to this person. This person can tend to run at fire and then be completely shocked and disappointed that they've been trying to nurture and trying to care and trying to take care of and trying to, but the people don't really accept it, or the people don't acknowledge it, or there's some kind of disappointment, and this deep-seated, beautifully sensitive person gets hurt, and then all that generosity of spirit and nurturing and caring disappears and gets replaced by a lack of compassion and a distancing that can be very hurtful for the people involved. So there's an interesting paradox there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the easiest way for this person to liberate themselves is to figure out what it is they want to be, what they want to do. And if you're doing it, fantastic. And if not, find a way to do it. That's the best I can say, because until you live that very special vision you have for yourself, which I get a very strong sense of, but I'm not putting it out there, a very strong sense, until you live that vision, you will feel unfulfilled and challenged. And then the small things will hurt you and disappoint you, and you will have more of an emotional reaction to them than is appropriate. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think we should break there and let's try fit in one more, Bev. Can we do one more? Can
okay.
we do,
we can do two more,
male born on the 12th of December 1937?
Okay.
Male born 12th December 1937. Bev is going to look at your numbers just after these.
101.9 Chai FM. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Great. Thanks so much for staying with us. You're with Nikki Seberini in Your Element. And in the studio, I have self-esteem engineer Bev Malun. Thank you for all those SMSs that have been coming in. We're looking at a male who was born on the 12th of December, 1937.
Great paradox here. Right off the bat, wonderful nurturer, caring, loves things to be pretty, wants to have security, wants to be able to help others, wants to be able to share that, likes to take direction, lead the way, can get people involved so that they will follow and they will, right? Generous of spirit, affectionate. So what's the paradox? I mean, with this wonderful, generous-spirited human being is this inflexibility. It has to be my way. Why is it like that? Well, I'm like that. You know, I've had to work so hard at that. Being nice and gentle was not my forte. I'm a leader of millions, you know, in my head. When I was 12, I remember thinking, what do you mean you don't want to make me head girl? Like, are you mad? The school needs me. And I wasn't. So, you know, there was a great chest smack, like, oh, I can't breathe. Like the wind gets knocked out of your sails. Mm. I can't believe this. So this would be a similar experience this person has. Like, what do you mean you don't want to do it my way? What do you mean you have your own opinion? Hey, what do you mean? I know I'm right. I know how to do these things. And I'm trying to help you.
Mm.
That's the favorite famous frustrated line. I'm trying to help you.
Mm.
So we go back to that other thing that we've said like so many times, that thing. Because your work, gentlemen, is to be sensitive to the needs of others and help them in a way that will benefit them. So now,
not that you think will benefit them.
Yes, indeed. And that's so a hard one. I used to rush in and save. Hard. I have a similar profile in certain ways, but I used to rush in and save and heal and bathe and push my life aside to help others all the time until I realized how special I was. I mean, it took a while. You know, we don't always get it up front. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come in a pull. So you have to do the work to do the realization. And for me, the majority of work's come in the last 12 to 15 years. So it's not like I was feeling so happy in my childhood. It's not like I felt a fulfilled decade of my 20s. I didn't. So there we go. It's out there now. So I know I'm different to everybody and everyone else is completely fulfilled and living a wonderful life. But no, that was my story. And I think that what happens for people who so much want to help is that they don't take a breath to check that the help they're giving people is not impeding their progress. Sometimes it's like the butterfly story. Mm. Sometimes the butterfly has to struggle. The baby has to learn to walk itself. The hips don't heal right, fix right. The muscles don't develop right. They have to. You cannot. You can coach a Castor Semenya, but you cannot run with her on the track.
Mm.
Somebody has to give her a strategy. Somebody, but she has to implement it. She has to do the work. Has anyone figured out that strategy, by the way?
That's a tough one.
Has anyone figured out that strategy, that Olympic race? I'll run from the back and see what happens. Has anyone figured that out? I'm still trying to figure out that strategy.
I was shattered.
I was standing and going, oh, no, please, no. What is going on? No, run now. This is too late. And it was. And it was like, oh, seriously, you are the champion. Mm. She could have won that race.
Yeah.
I haven't figured out that strategy yet. I'm not sure what her coach, Maria Matola, said afterwards. I mean, just say that was it. Come second. Well done. Run from the back. I'm not sure.
She said she ran her heart out.
Yeah. I heard conflicting opinions from her. She said that, and then she also said she could have run a better strategy and etc. But what I'm using that as an analogy for is to say that it doesn't matter if you have the best training, the best eye, the best vision of how things should be. It doesn't matter. We have to make sure of several things. One is that you're the right person to implement it. That you are doing the right thing for the people for whom you are implementing it. And that at the end of the day, if you smother them, you can take responsibility for that. And if you and help them, you can stand with grace with that. But when we have people who so generously want to change the planet and do things and help and nurture and take care of, we have to be mindful of the fact that we're not always right.
Mm.
We're not always right about whom we help, how we help those people, and what help we offer them. And it is important for people who are natural helpers and givers to make certain you're not drowning someone so that they can't find their own way through it. Sometimes just being there and being supportive is what is required. And it's hard for someone who's such a natural giver. I understand that. Mm-hmm. It's hard. So the easiest way I can encourage people to work with that is to focus on you. Just make sure you are intact. You are fulfilled. You are not living a life of inadequacy, of unfulfillment, but living a life of feeling adequate, feeling significant, doing what makes you more significant in your own world every day. So that when you give, you have the comfort and grace and wherewithal of self to have a look at what you're offering and make certain it serves you, it serves the recipients, and that the methodology is the best.
Mm. Okay. So that was for the male born on the 12th of December, 1937. I think just to close off, Bev, Michelle sent through an SMS and she has a question for you. And the question she asks is this: would all females born on the same day have the same profile?
Absolutely. Next question. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. All right. So it's like this. We'll do it as quickly as possible. Let's say we are in the inside of one of those of a soccer ball, doesn't matter, any ball, any sphere, and from the center of the sphere to the perimeter there is a pen, and the pen is centered at the center, but it keeps moving and spinning in and around, touching the circumference of the circle all the time. And so at any given point that pen is at, you know, I don't know, thousands of different angles. The dates will be the same, but the energy of what aspect of those dates that person will take out as challenges and that person will take out as opportunities and as strengths and as limitations will be different for people born 2 minutes apart. Because if we picture that pen moving fast, mm-hmm. when the one child is born, boom, there it is.
The pen's in one position.
One position.
And then it's in another position.
At 11 o'clock and 53 seconds.
And the positions bring
seconds.
About completely different
completely
things.
Different. I have profiled twins. I've profiled triplets. I have never done more than that because I don't have anyone who's ever come to me with quads or quintuplets mm-hmm. or anything, but haven't done the Rosenkiewiczs. So that could be interesting mm-hmm. and challenging. But I have found, I even did one live in studio ages ago with Kathy. There was a twin who worked here and her sister was in London, and we profiled both of them, very different girls, but it was so obvious to me. And the twin who was in London, we got her spot on, and the girl who worked here, we got her spot on. Very different aspects of the same energy. So it is, it's no, there's somebody asked me recently if I'll teach them how to do numerology. I can't teach you how to do numerology. Even if I wanted to, I'd love to. Go do a course. Go do, read books. Do something like that. And if you find you have a portal through this, and if you find you get more than the average, well, that's fantastic. Use it to help other people. But I don't do numerology. I write down, there it is. I write down the birth date. I turn that into numbers. Mm. And whatever's coming to me is coming to me. So it's a little John Edwardsy. Do I profess to understand it? No. When I look at a birth date like that and nothing comes, I will be honest and I'll say, I'm done. The work through this portal is no longer relevant.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I will find another channel. I have no ego attached to it. I do not feel like I need to grandstand it. It is what it is. I like to offer it. I know that's my responsibility or it wouldn't be coming. And I use it to try and benefit relationships, to benefit people, not to look for all the inadequacy. That's easy. I'm wall to wall inadequacy. It depends on your angle. Smoke and mirrors, baby. We all live in the smoke and mirrors.
Speak for yourself.
Except for you, because you're an oracle and you're perfect.
I've got that glass ball, Bev. Don't ever forget it.
I know. I'm going to find you one. I'm going to bring it. It's going to scare you.
Bev, thank you for that. Michelle, there is the explanation, because when I watch Bev, you know, and she starts looking at people's numbers, it's as if, you know, words come out of her mouth and stories and explanations that are quite incredible. And we always get amazing feedback. So, you know, it's the numbers, but then it's a whole lot more. So, Bev, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us this morning. Wishing you a meaningful fast. Does one wish a difficult or an easy fast?
Well,
because a difficult one would mean that you're overcoming a lot more. An easy one would mean, have I misunderstood?
Mashi will come in here with the most unbelievable insights about that. So on my one toe, never mind one foot, what I can offer is that My understanding is that we fast to separate ourselves from physicality, mm-hmm. so we can do the real work at an emotional, spiritual level.
Right.
So we separate our physical need for the day. So I don't have to think about when do I schedule lunch. Mm-hmm. I need to think about how do I connect with my creator? How do I connect and say, I'm reviewing my behavior. I'm sorry about this. I'm going to try better here. I'll try better there. I see that. When you judge me, please judge me favorably, knowing I'm doing my best. I'm just trying. Please, I'm doing my best. I'm going to try harder. Mm. And it's not just a day of judgment for us, for the Jewish people. Please bear that in mind when you speak about it. This is a day of judgment for you too, Mr. T. And it's just the Jewish people and you.
Yes,
you know, there you
Mr.
go.
T.
It's for everybody. Mm. This is the time when the world was energetically created. And whether you're Jewish or not, people who understand the energies of the world all talk about a renewal at this time. And this is when we are all renewed and judged and promised and given opportunity for a year of certain things which we can alter and change the way we work on ourselves and the way we develop our grace and our willingness to engage in vulnerability and apologize and to take responsibility and to give righteously and generously. And so all this energy supports us in how we move through this period. And the fast is there to not waste our time on the physicality of eating, but let us engross ourselves, Jewish or non-Jewish, whether you're fasting or not. Let us engross ourselves in the energy that is so incumbent and so powerful on that day that gives us an opportunity to renew, to begin the Carl Jungian tabula rasa, to begin again, to wipe the slate clean and start over.
Thanks, Bev. Thanks so much. Okay. Until next week. Mwah.